Crosswalk here on AM 980 The Mission. We're joined with John Byron Shank. His book is called The Root of Shame, The Deal We Make with Evil. He's also a pretty good musician. We've been playing his bumper music coming in on a break. If you go to johnbyronshank.com, you get more information on his books and his music. Oh, you forgot to say congratulations to Alex, winning a copy of the book, too. Well, John, you're talking about, you know, the sin system we create, this trigger loop that gets created, where the trigger, the interpreter, the conceit, the false payoff, the consequences. I use that example of no one ever calls me that is the trigger that leads to people don't like me, which leads to I'm always rejected and alone. So the false payoff is I isolate and drink in this case. And then the true payoff is that people don't want to be around me because I'm an angry drunk. So we've created this loop. Well, now where we're at now is how we break that loop.
Okay. This is called the loop breaker. And again, we've picked a simple one. There are many in the book
right,
to draw from. But, okay. And so that when I experience this trigger, no one ever calls me. That's the same. But my interpreter may or may not be right. So how can I correct the interpreter if it is wrong? Maybe I don't count my blessings, so I don't remember when they do call. Or right, how can I better respond to it if it proves to be true? I can change my attitude and my behavior. 3, how can I replace my self-serving conceit with God's truth? God will never forsake me. I am whole and complete and lacking nothing in Christ Jesus, for some examples from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What is the true payoff for doing what God wants me to do? By being a giver, not acting needy or desperate or isolating, people will want to be around me. And then the fifth one is, what freedoms do I have as a result of the fruit of the Lord? I am free to love and be loved, and I can seek help with my drinking problem. So now that's basically psychology. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology, the root of the word means psuche, is from psuche logos, which means soul knowledge. What the book also contains is spirit knowledge. That would be pneumology, because pneuma is the word for spirit in the New Testament. So it's very important, and because I don't know how much time we're going to have, but the leverage for real change comes from that new exchanged life that I have. The example I just gave you is psychology, but the pneumology is like Galatians 2:20 or 1 Corinthians 6:17 that says, he that has the spirit of the Lord is one spirit with him.
Right.
And then this is profound. You know, I think I talked about 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 4, that says we are partakers of the divine nature. John 17 prays that we will be one as he and the Father are one. This is and God did not say no to that prayer. And this is a little bit strange, but at first when you hear it, but it makes sense. Paul talks about the mystery of Christ in the church resembling the relationship of the husband with the wife.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to, because the church is called the bride of Christ, this is what I've deduced from it. Essentially, the human spirit is female in the sense that it receives into itself the spirit of God, becoming the bride. And now this is profound, because if this is my reality, God is not just, God is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and he's way up there above everything else. But this is talking about not only God being transcendent, but God being immanent. We no longer have to seek the presence of God because he is joined to us. If he is joined to us, it's just not to make communication easier, but he's joined to us to empower us. So that means that if Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches, that means he's saying the same sap that's flowing through me is now flowing from into you, and you are bearing my fruit when you obey and follow me. And so this is profound. I don't know how much time we have, but I'd just like to...
Oh, another 5 minutes or
quickly.
So. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I feel like I'm rushing, and there's so much I could say.
I know.
You still have to buy the book.
That's the whole point. We give them a good teaser.
Okay. The last part of the book, after we've done the hard work of looking where we didn't want to look, hearing what we didn't want to hear, feeling what we didn't want to feel, and all that, you earn some freedoms.
Yeah.
Over time, I had a crisis in midlife where I learned a lot of this. After being a Christian when I was 25, around 40, I had all kinds of things broke down. And that's when I learned more about the exchange life. Okay, here are a number of freedoms I will just read to you. Freedom to listen. When I'm not having shame cluttering everything up, I can suspend the prejudice of my opinion to hear what another has to say.
Yeah.
If they are right about what they say, I have gained wisdom. If they are mistaken, my position can be retaken with greater confidence. Just lost my order of things here.
Oh, that's okay. Again, if people want information, johnbyronshank.com is the website for information on the book and of course, his music. Talking about his book, Shame, The Deal We Make with Evil, and going through those things, breaking those triggers, breaking that loop, and getting to the freedoms that we now have.
That's right. And I have misplaced one of my note pages.
Totally understandable. I've done that plenty of times.
Got it. You've done that too. Okay. Yeah. So it's not just my being stricken with age.
No.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. Freedom from blame. I will no longer have to seek a scapegoat for my problems. I'll be free to do whatever needs to be done to fix them with the grace to learn from mistakes, yours and mine.
Yeah.
The freedom from control. I will no longer have to make rules for others to follow. My behavior boundaries are for me to follow, not you. Freedom to be honest. I will no longer have to cover myself with excuses, lies, or use flattery or half-truths to mislead you. I can be real. I will no longer have to be a slave to the opinion of others about my value or worth. Freedom to know the truth. I'll be able to learn from anyone. Anyone.
Yeah.
It will no longer be about who is right, me or you. It will be more about what is right, this or that. I am not the subject. The truth is.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are shame-based really get stuck there.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Freedom from condemnation. I will no longer have to beat myself up, having no expectations of perfection for myself in my flesh. I will no longer have to impose those expectations on you or me. I am forgiven. Freedom to love. I will no longer have to be imprisoned by guilt or revenge. I will experience healing in my heart by forgiving others. I will help others to heal by making amends to them for the wrongs I have done. I will become an instrument in restoring broken relationships. I will have freedom to give without being obligated.
Yeah.
Freedom to stand before God in confidence. I'll be able to enjoy my Lord in worship and prayer. I will be able to pray for others with confident expectation of an answer, because the prayers of the righteous avail much. I will be able to hear the voice of the Lord when he speaks to me.
Amen.
When we've let conceits drive our response to things, these are learned things. It takes a little while to unlearn them. You have to take something that's in the unconscious reflexive response and bring it into the conscious for a while. Like a homely example would be when you're learning to drive a car, you put the key in here, you got to let the clutch out slower, it's going to pop. You got to set the mirrors, this is where all the wipers and the lights and everything are, and then you start to drive in a parking lot, and you make your mistakes, and eventually you're out on the road, and it seems like it's exhausting because there's so many things to remember. After you learn to drive the car, then you just you know where the key goes, you know what everything's going. I can have a conversation with somebody else. I still got to pay attention that I don't run over the dog or something. Yeah. But the point is that it's become parked in my unconscious mind, where my brain has normalized these procedures and I don't question them anymore. And Satan sneaks up on us to embed things. And they did start with conscious, willful disobedience in most cases. Now, trauma that was not our fault, also he interferes with. But usually that's around a victim mentality and privileges that we are entitled to somewhere down the road. So there still are conceits involved in that, even if the origin of the shame was not our willfulness.
Yeah. Well, there's a wealth.
But at some point.
Go ahead.
That's all right. You speak.
I was just going to say there's so much information in the book, and encourage people, if they go to your website, johnbyronshank.com, they can get a copy of the book, also on your music. And I think it's very beneficial to have that discussion about shame and what we feel, because we all feel it to some degree. And I think you've covered it very, very well. I really appreciate you taking time to join us today, John. And we'll probably have to get you back some other time, because
I would love that.
We went
Thank
through a whole
much.
Bunch pretty fast. So blessings to you.
All right. Same to you, sir.
Thank you so much. There you go. JohnByronShank.com is the website. The book, too, The Root of Shame, The Deal We Make with Evil, a great tool and resource. Again, if you go to his website, JohnByronShank.com, you can find a copy. John, let's give away a copy. 651-289-4499, 651-289-4499. First caller will win a copy of The Root of Shame by John Byron Shank. More Crosswalk coming up here on AM 980 The Mission.
Cry when we said